Who, me?
Shh.
Who, me?
Right. How would you like to buy an oval? Round and neat. A nearly perfect circle. Tidy and complete. It'll cost you just a nickel.
A nickel?
Shh.
A nickel.
Right. So buy the oval and take it home tonight. Don't ask any questions. Just buy the oval and take it home tonight. You'll really love it. So buy the oval and take it home tonight.
All right. I'll take it. Hey, what the...
Ernie, you are under arrest for the attempted purchase of an illegal vowel.
But that guy...
Sorry, kid. They got me pushing punctuation outside of Hooper's store. It was either this or prison.
But I trusted you.
Sir, get in the car, please. Watch your head.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 137, featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham.
Yes, hi, hello.
How's it going?
How's your torso?
Yeah, how is your torso?
We're curious. This is now safe territory. We're no longer wondering about your butts. We're wondering about your torsos.
We're not even going to mention butts. No. We want to know about your torso.
No butts, no limbs, no heads, just torsos.
Yes. Grand Theft Torso.
Grand Theft Torso 4.
The one where you do only good things.
Yes, but it's a Russian torso, so that's
yes.
A thing. You had mentioned you think Torso sounds like a He-Man villain.
Torso sounds like a He-Man villain.
Well,
like
T-O-R-S hyphen O?
Yeah, exactly. He-Man, meet my greatest minion yet. Torso, the limbless man.
Torso, the quadriplegic man.
He fell over.
Oh.
I'm going home now.
There's, I'm just imagining the action figure. Would it actually come with arms and legs that come off, or, like, just... No.
I figure either that or it would be like the Phantom Limb action figure.
Oh, right.
Where it just comes with like transparent arms and legs.
They actually talked about that in the commentaries, though, that they wanted to just give you like the head and torso in a bag along with the extra limbs that can't reattach.
Yes.
That would be great. Would the torso action figure have a head, though?
No, because it's just a torso.
So,
I could maybe see it having, like, a face on its torso.
No, but then you're getting into, what's his name, Aram Zolom, that guy?
Arnim Zolom.
Thank you. Arm Darvin.
Arm Darvin.
Right. Armin.
I'm Saranian for what I do.
So is he the opposite of MODOK, then, who is just a head?
Yeah.
Because MODOK is the man without a torso, right?
Yeah, he's the torso-less man.
Right.
Oh, man, there's your crossover.
MODOK, the man without a torso, versus Torso.
The man who is a torso.
The man from Eternia who is lame.
Torso. The torso.
I don't know, if you go through the roster of He-Man villains, really. I mean, at first, they were pretty cool. You had Trapjaw, you had Beastman.
I was like Triclops.
Triclops was cool, and each one of his eyes did something different.
Yep.
But then eventually...
Manny Faces.
Manny Faces. Wow. That's a name I haven't thought of in a long time.
He was like Triclops, only instead of eyes, he had Manny Faces.
How many faces does he have, Matt?
Three. Three makes up a Manny.
Manny. Wow. Now, see, I was building there, but now you've completely derailed me. Jesus.
Well, Manny Faces will do that to you.
They had Moss Man. I don't remember if he was... He was a bad guy or a good guy.
No, Mothman was a bad guy. He was like, he was basically Beastman, but they flocked him.
Yeah, but did you have the action figure? My brother did. I was just too old for He-Man, but my brother played with them.
I didn't have many He-Man action figures. I was Ghostbusters and DC Comics, but...
That's fair. Superpowers, I believe you'll find, was what they were
yes.
called at that point.
My cousin, though, had a shit ton of He-Man action
figures. Well, Mothman was a standard He-Man, just a normal guy, but he was covered in green felt.
Yes.
Which, you know, great callback, felt. Always like to say felt. That's a word we say that people laugh at for some reason, right?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Now, but the best part was he was pine-scented.
I don't remember that.
Well, it wore off after a while. Even if you played with, like, Mossman, like, that was a couple of weeks old, it wouldn't anymore.
Well, but his felt wore off pretty quick, too.
Right, but right out of the package, he smelled like one of those trees that you hang in the mirror in your car.
That's sort of awesome.
Yeah,
it is. Now I really wish I had one that I could dangle from my rearview mirror.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. But I was trying to think, there was Stinkor.
Yeah, the skunk guy. He smelled when he came out of the box, too.
Yeah, his power was that he was a skunk man.
Yep.
And
who else?
The rest. I'm trying to remember these off the top of my head. This isn't something we prepared to talk about, but now I'm trying
Lobstore. Lobstore.
Was there Lobstore, really? Was that his name?
No, his actual name was Clawful.
Clawful.
But I remember talking about He-Man with a friend of mine, and I just assumed for some reason that his name was Lobstore.
Well, of course, because so many of them had...
I didn't find out until later that it was Clawful.
Well, I mean, and what else, what other characters had that ore thing in there? Because I feel like a lot of them did.
That was like, there was Fisto.
Oh, God. Which now, of course,
like
has been made...
with a giant hand.
Yeah, he's been made filthy retroactively by everyone.
Yeah, you think that's bad? There was Ram Man.
You think that's bad?
You
yes,
think
I
that's
do.
That's bad. Remember the time I had lunch with Ram Man?
Duh, he mad.
I'm Ram Man.
His entire voice was duh.
Duh. So he was Moose.
Yeah, basically.
Duh. Stay away from Midge, he man.
Here's a list. Okay, Merman, of course, because he had the gargly voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skeletor.
Faker.
Faker, the blue He-Man.
No, he was an evil robot of Skeletor, is what it says here.
Really?
That's what it says.
I thought Faker was the
No,
the
it's not
evil...
Faker, it's just Faker.
Oh, Faker. Well, there is a Faker, or Fakor, possibly.
No, he's like a Doombot, but for Skeletor.
Yeah, alright.
No,
because there was like, I remember this, there was this blue He-Man clone who Skeletor had to impersonate He-Man. And it didn't occur to him that maybe people would notice that he was blue, but then it didn't matter because no one noticed that he was blue.
I was going to say, was that a plot point, or was that just to for the audience so we could tell?
Mm-hmm. I guess it was for the audience.
So you got your Fisto. We're getting into like wave three, like the
you had his assistant, Kid Fisto.
He was a fish man. Mecha Neck. It was a...
Mecha Necka High, Mecha Heiny Ho?
Yes. No, Mecha Heiny was an entirely different thing.
I actually had Mecha Neck, now that I think about it.
The description here says, heroic human periscope.
There's your cybernetics. Okay, so we got a guy with a robot neck.
Well, but in fairness, you know, didn't Inspector Gadget sort of pioneer the extendable neck?
Like, I mean, yeah, but He had other gadgets, too, right? Like, he had Extendo Everything.
Oh, yeah, Extendo Everything, absolutely. And then...
Mechaneck was just a dude with a mechanical neck that made him slightly taller than you.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. As we're getting... Like, the original one sounded pretty cool. It was my original point. And then you really threw me with Manny Faces, but my point was...
I love Manny Faces. he had Manny Faces.
Yeah. Well, three. Three is not Manny.
That's many faces. That's way more faces than you've got.
But you start with these, you know, Skeletor and Man-at-Arms and so forth. But then by the third and fourth wave, it's like with Transformers. And I think G.I. Joe, I think around the third wave is when G.I. Joe started getting football players and wrestlers.
Well, that's when it starts to break down. Because it's like, okay, we have all the cool guys. We have all the secondary guys.
Yeah,
we
got ninjas
now?
And robots. And now what?
I don't even...
And that's the thing, is you get into wave three here, and a lot of these are puns on things from Earth. But this is supposed to take place on another planet.
Yep.
There's Jitsu, the evil master of martial arts. Cobra Khan, evil master of snakes.
Was Cobra Khan the guy who had snakes for arms?
It could be. I don't have pictures. I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry.
This is still He-Man, right? This isn't...
Yes.
Okay. Because there was a bunch... They did a bunch of snake guys. There was the snake guy who had a snake tail.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the snake guy who had snakes for arms, and you could, like they were made of that weird rubber stuff that,
right.
like... You could, like, bend.
Right. Like a Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then, this is a real guy, Webstore.
Oh, yeah, the spider guy.
Yeah, maybe you're too young
Played
to remember,
by Emmanuel
but
Lewis.
I just think of Emmanuel Lewis as a He-Man villain. Webstore.
What you talking about, He-Man? And
oh, I know that's
No, I know.
That's Coleman.
But I don't remember anything that Webstore ever said, so.
He had a cute little giggle.
Oh,
that's pretty much it.
I don't want it.
Yeah. And then there's Stinkor, there's Spikor.
Yeah, who I assume was Spikey.
Evil Master of Untouchable Combat, it says here.
Okay, then.
Oh, right, and then there's Too Bad. T-W-O, bad.
Oh, the guy with two heads.
But he's bad, Matt.
Yes,
it's not just that he has two heads, it's also that he's bad.
He's a bad man with two heads. Yep. He's too bad.
And then they just completely gave up and called a guy Leech.
I had Leech.
Yeah, he had a suction cup mouth, and it was...
Yeah, you could stick him onto, like, a mirror or something.
Yeah, which is cool. Like, it's a cool design. But Leech, you just completely gave up.
Yep, he's a big leech.
Yeah. And then you're going to...
He'll hang around your house all weekend. He won't pay for anything. Eat all your food. Eat all your food.
Watch pay-per-view
stuff. Sleep on your couch. Yep.
Yeah, totally. Grizzlore, he's just a bear.
He was Beastman, but with, like...
Brown hair instead of orange.
Wig hair on him.
Yeah.
I had him too, actually.
Modulok, who was an evil beast of 1,000 bodies.
So he was Manny Faces in reverse.
No, Manny Faces in reverse would be you and me. We each have one face.
That's the one E-Faces.
That's Matt E-Faces. That's the worst Batman villain of all, One Face.
That actually showed up in a Batman comic I read recently.
One Face? Really?
Oh, God, yeah, it was terrible.
I guess so.
It was, this was Batman the Dark Knight.
Uh-huh.
And it had Two-Face taking... I think it was Venom, the mm-hmm. drug that Bane uses to get all
sure.
huge. And so Batman's fighting this huge Two-Face. And Two-Face is like, I ain't Two-Face anymore, Batman. Now you can call me One-Face. And I'm reading it. And I'm like, he's still got two faces, though.
Why would... What? Why? Also, why would you call anyone One-Face?
Yeah. Just call him Harvey.
That's... Or Harvey One-Face.
Harvey One-Face.
As they called him in the Batman and Robin movie.
What did they call me back in law school? They called you Harvey One-Face.
Nobody called him that. They called me Al Two-Legs.
They called you Obi Two Kenobi.
We're not stealing other people's bits yet. We'll do that later. There's time for that later.
There was time now.
Oh, God. There's another snake guy called Rattlore.
Oh, yeah. He had a, if you rattled him, he made a noise.
Ah. So you're combining a baby's rattle
mm-hmm.
with a toy.
With a snake monster.
Yeah. Tongue Lashor.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue Lashor.
I assume he had, like, a tongue that came out.
I don't even know anymore.
Like a whip.
Yeah. They just kind of give... All this just reminds me of the 80s, which is just depressing. I was thinking of the Pac-Man cartoon recently, because that's now on DVD, because I guess someone demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I maintain, and, you know, bring it on, because you're not going to find one worse. This is the worst cartoon made in the 80s, hands down.
Yep.
Just...
I buy it.
The worst.
I've seen is the, the Christmas special, but Jesus.
If you watch the opening, like the opening credit, well, they're not credits, but the opening sequence, where you see the whole premise laid out,
mm-hmm.
the ghosts answer to an evil wizard,
which was the thing in if you had like an 80s cartoon based on a property,
yeah,
it was always them versus an evil wizard,
right. But there's a bit where in the opening where he goes, I must have those power pellets! And that just sums up everything.
Yep.
Terrible about 80s cartoons. Mind you, yep. I watched it every week.
Oh, totally.
But I was waiting for Spider-Man to be on.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, this all leads me to, there's a new Pac-Man cartoon coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2012, we got to have a new Pac-Man cartoon.
Yeah, people are just screaming for more Pac-Man. Because he's still so relevant.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I read the description, and it sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
The description involved... Well, I mean, Pac-Man's in high school, and that sounded terrible.
Well, that is the other thing that
yeah,
all...
Yeah, that's what they do now, still.
Now.
But the ghosts are apparently the actual dead spirits of old military guys who tried to conquer Pac-Man's world and failed.
Yeah, that's...
That actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're actual ghosts who actually, we had an evil agenda at one point.
Not just, like, dudes who look like ghosts.
Yeah, no. They were called ghost monsters in the original. And they,
yeah.
You know, kind of
ghost monsters!
Who are you going to call? Nobody. It just baffles me. Like, I might take a look at that.
I'm going to be interested if he's going to actually eat people.
Well.
Or ghosts.
I mean, only the ghosts. He wouldn't eat the other pack guys. That would be, you know.
I would watch that.
Pack manibalism?
Yes. Pack manibal Lecter.
That's horrible. Let's never speak
yeah,
of it
and,
again.
And pack manibal is better.
No, but it was over.
Pack cannibal.
Now we're still talking about it.
Yes.
All right. I think with that, we should take a break, and then we'll do some bits, and then we'll answer some mail, and then the show will be over.
What did he say to you? Multiple MIGs in the next cell.
Many faces in the next cell.
He said, I could smell your cherries.
Oh, Lord.
I myself cannot.
And we'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Dr. Gregorian Enhancement Clinic.
Hello.
If you would like to know more about our products, press 1. If you'd like to register a complaint, press 2.
2? 2, that one.
Please hold. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war. But I was proud to go and do...
That's quite enough of that. Leonard has an album.
God, it's you.
Good afternoon, Matt. Sorry I've been away so long. I won't let you down again. No, wait, that was Superman 2.
Oh, I don't need this. An episode of Crypt Keeper should take my mind off of it.
In today's episode, Matt, hold on, I'll get this. Has a mind to change? No, a heart to change in time saves 9.
Oh, of course, you're the Crypt Keeper then.
No, but I'm the Crypt Keeper now. Wheels within wheels, Matt. Wheels within wheels.
What the hell are you talking about?
Fuck knows. This Crypt Keeper thing is harder than I thought. Suffice to say, though, waking or sleeping, I'll always be around. Even at ECCCCC. Never known to stop, eh? Of course you know that. That restraining order won't save you forever. You know, Matt, I'm really gonna miss these little chats we had together. You're the only one that... No, wait, that was Superman 4.
No!
Bert! Oh, thank goodness, Bert! It's me!
Ernie, where are you? Do you know what time it is?
Not exactly, Bert. Usually when you ask me that, I can yell out the window and ask the neighbors.
It's 3 a.m, Ernie. Where are you?
I'm downtown in a holding cell, Bert. You gotta come bail me out. There's been a horrible misunderstanding.
What did you do, Ernie?
Nothing, Bert. I met a guy on a corner. He sang me a catchy song, and before I knew it, I was in jail, Bert. I didn't even know we had police on Sesame Street.
You never did pay attention to the people in our neighborhood.
Well, you gotta help me, Bert.
Ernie, we don't live together anymore. You kicked me out when people started saying we were a couple. Why don't you call that owl you live with now?
Hoots? Oh, he wouldn't help me, Bert. He's not my buddy like you are, Bert. Please, I only get one phone call. You're the only one who can help me. I can't stay here, Bert. There are monsters.
Oh, Ernie, don't exaggerate.
I'm not, Bert! There are literally monsters here. The one they locked me up with has a serious chemical dependency problem.
Cookie! Ernie, listen. You gotta start taking responsibility for your actions. You made it very clear you didn't want me around anymore. My bottle caps and paper clips were too boring for you.
Oh, Bert, you know I was just fooling, Bert.
I'm sorry, Ernie. You made your bed. Now you're gonna have to lie in it.
Oh, but my bed is crawling with twiddle bugs, Bert.
Goodbye, Ernie.
This weekend at the Helen Bemis Memorial Convention Center, it's the 21st Annual Horrible Wife Expo. Rolling pins, 50% off. Heavy-duty frying pans, 65% off. Hair curlers, buy one, get one free. Pick up horrible tips from Rosalind Cho, TV's Keiko O'Brien. It's the 21st Annual Horrible Wife Expo. Discount tickets available at all Bed Bath & Beyond locations.
And we're back. You're still doing that, huh?
Yep.
It's a sickness.
I'm down with the sickness.
A wacka wacka. All right, we have some mail to answer.
We do.
We had hoped to sort of restart the tradition of having a guest on during the mail segment. Unfortunately, this week's guest had to bail sort of at the last minute, so we are still doing that. It fell through this week, but you don't just have to listen to us. Trust me, there will be other people.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. There would have been other people if everyone wasn't so busy on a Saturday afternoon.
So busy.
Don't you people have stuff to do that is at the house.
Yeah. I mean, you're itching to play Mass Effect. I can tell. I can hear it over the Skype.
Oh my god, it's sitting there right now. I'm staring at
it's
the box.
It's calling to you. It's taunting you.
Matt.
Yep.
Fucking come fight some collectors.
Too bad. There's mail day. We got mail. It's important.
Mail.
Someone's asking us about video games, though, so that's a thing.
Told. I'm in.
But they're old video games, so.
That's fine, too.
All right. This one comes from JB, and he says, I distinctly remember the first time I illicitly played Leisure Suit Larry. What fantastic pixelated joy. As soon as I was old enough to get my illegal cracking program, which I copied from some random BBS, all my SSDD floppies, which were actually floppy back then, notch and hole punched a notch on the side, I was slavering over 8-bit naughty bits and Gaussian ripples of nipple. As you may remember, if you were too as digitally hairy-palmed as I was, Leisure Suit Larry was published by the worldwide leader in adventure games at the time, Sierra Arts. Actually, Sierra Online.
Mm-hmm.
What actually endeared me to the series, last time I played number 6, I think, was a process that a friend of mine in college referred to as Sierra Logic, where you pick up every GD thing in the game, then randomly try to find the strangest possible combination of items to make something happen, like
yep.
toothpick Ferrari and anal lube, somehow making a hedgehog poster.
Yep, that sounds like Sierra.
I believe you yourself have participated in the Sierra Logic process with your good friend Mr. Darren on more than one occasion. Insert your plug here. Yes, Mark, famous Mark and I made a game called Brain Hotel. Mm-hmm. I was also involved with a couple of his other projects. So I'll post a link to that. Again, if you're interested, full-length free adventure game. I had a lot of fun making it. You should try it. So my question for you is, you were locked in a room with a sales receipt for McDonald's for small fries, a plastic coat hanger, an analgesic, a broken daisy wheel printer, and half a Rubik's Cube. How do you escape from the room and avoid the Gru lurking outside the front door? Mm-hmm. Bonus question for Babyface Robotham. What does BBS and SSDD stand for? God, I'm old. JB, the goddamn genius. Well, let's take care of those first before we start puzzle solving here.
All right, so BBS.
Uh-huh.
Batman bought soap.
No.
And SSDD? What was the other one? SSDD. Super Squid died dastardly.
No. Same shit, different day. What's wrong with you?
Oh, fuck. I should know same shit, different day.
Yeah. So you're locked in a room with a sales receipt, a plastic coat hanger, analgesic, broken daisy wheel printer, half a Rubik's Cube. Mm. How do you escape the room?
Is the door locked?
It
does he say specifically that the door is locked?
Yes, you are in a locked room.
Okay. There was some story I remember from high school that was just like, this guy is told he's put in a locked room and he has to escape within a certain amount of time and the door isn't locked. And
so
he never tries it.
That would be an interesting text game, to have an unreliable narrator text game
mm-hmm.
that's just lying to you.
Yep.
And you sort of second guess what you're being told, and yeah, that would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I have an answer to this, but it's sort of an unfair answer, so perhaps you should go first.
Let's see here. I don't know, I could probably kick the door down.
Could you?
And that...
No, you try to kick the door down and it fails.
I have strong calves, dude.
And I can kick!
I can kick!
No, you can't.
Oh, man.
You can't do... I don't know the word kick. How about that?
Can I punch door?
No. It's all in the mind, Matt.
Oh, man. This is why I need a game fac.
Yeah, no. Back in the day, you had to figure it out. Or buy the hint book.
All right, fine. I'll do that. Buy the hint book.
You don't see any hint book here.
Oh, man. What do I see here?
You were in a locked room with a sales receipt for McDonald's for a small fries, a plastic coat hanger, an analgesic, a broken daisy wheel printer, and half a Rubik's Cube. How do you escape from the room and avoid the Gru lurking outside the door?
Okay, well, first I'm going to break the plastic coat hanger.
Okay.
All right.
Now you have two halves of broken plastic coat hanger.
Okay, now I'm going to take one of the halves of the broken plastic coat hanger and snap that into two so I have, like, a long, sort of thin stick thing.
Okay.
I'm going to use that to pick the lock.
It's plastic. It falls apart in the lock.
It falls apart in the lock?
It's plastic. It's a metal lock, and you're jamming a plastic thing in there. It'll crack in half again.
Hmm. Okay, what's the daisy thing?
Broken daisy wheel printer. Those are old-style printers. The daisy wheel is like a circular metal thing with ridges all around it. It looks like a daisy. That's why it's called that. And each of the spokes has like a letter, and it would spin around. Sort of like an old typewriter.
Hmm. I'm going to knock on the door.
All right. Mr. Roper opens it.
I'm going to hand him the receipt and walk past.
All right. Done. Good job. Personally, I'm going to adumbrate the elephant.
Okay.
And an elephant breaks through the wall and I escape.
All right.
That is the thing. There was the first LucasArts graphics game, I believe, was an adaptation of the movie Labyrinth. This isn't something people remember. Most people remember Maniac Mansion, but there was a game before that.
No, I vaguely remember hearing about this.
And it was okay. I had it for the Commodore 64. It was all right.
It had some of that like that LucasArts weirdness in it, didn't it?
It did. Actually, they collaborated a little with Douglas Adams.
Ooh.
Who was mostly involved with Infocom doing text games. He did the Hitchhiker's game. And he had a great text game called Bureaucracy, where the entire goal of the game was to get the post office to recognize your change of address.
Yeah, I always wanted to try that game.
Yeah, it looks horrible, but looks like fun. But the only thing he ended up contributing was adumbrate the... Is that what I said, adumbrate?
Adumbrate the elephant.
The elephant. That means to sort of predict that something's going to happen. And that is the solution to get out of a locked room in that game. If you adumbrate the elephant, that means you predict that an elephant is going to come and break through the wall. And then it does. That is the most ridiculous puzzle solution I have ever heard, and I use it every chance that I get.
How on earth would you know to do that?
You wouldn't!
Yeah!
Except... This was before they didn't have a type, like you didn't type in the commands.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't point and click. There was a little scroll wheel at the bottom
uh-huh.
with all the verbs and then another one with all the nouns. So you could try every possible combination.
Oh, okay.
And you probably saw adumbrate the entire game and you're like, what the fuck does that even mean? And then you get a chance to use it. And oh, okay. There you go.
Fair enough.
So that's it.
All right.
Next one comes from.
I would also. I was sad to hear that the list of stuff that we had to escape from the room did not include no tea.
Yeah, that was always one of my favorites, no tea. Next one comes from Alexis Jefferson.
Okay.
It says, Dear small business owner, hereby you are notified that your income tax return appeal, ID 8255083, has been rejected. If you consider the IRS did not properly estimate your case due to a misunderstanding of the facts, be ready to provide additional information. You can access the rejection details and resubmit your appeal using the following link, Online Tax Appeal. Signed, Internal Revenue Service.
Huh.
All right, I'm going to take the Rubik's Cube and throw it at the IRS. I actually discovered we've recently moved... mail servers, which who cares? You guys can still send mail to podcast@algar.com and it'll get to us.
Yeah.
But we've switched over, so we're handling it through Gmail now. And I realized that a bunch of spam was going into the filter and we weren't seeing it. And I love trying to deal with our spam on the air. I want to turn the filter off. If there's a way to deliberately get spam.
Tell us how to enhance our penises.
Yes, we would have minutes of fun with that.
Yes, literal minutes.
We might get seconds of laughs out of that. Probably not. I think we've made one and only dick joke on the show that made me laugh, and that was last episode.
Ah, yes.
Next one comes from John Wiggins, and he says, If Al, Matt, and Dave were stranded on a desert island, what one DVD would each of you bring, assuming you had a TV, DVD player, and generator?
Dorf on how to escape from a desert island.
Did Tim Conway do a...
I have no idea.
But no, I'm wondering if he did an episode of Gilligan's Island. Because you could basically edit those and the Dorf things together.
Yep.
And form... I want Football's Greatest Bloopers Volume 7. That one where the guy just keeps running and crashes into the stadium and the guys fall into the field, that's hilarious.
The one where the door on the Enterprise doesn't open?
No. Come on, Matt. Be serious now. This is This is not time for Star Trek.
This is time for action.
Yeah. Either that or, I don't know, some kind of cooking show.
Juan can cook?
Yes, Juan can cook.
Did you have that, or is that might be?
No,
it
it's
a Canadian
Yan
show.
Can
Yan can cook.
Yes.
Fine.
He's a I believe Chinese guy, which is a bit different than a guy named Juan, who would be a Hispanic guy. Man.
I would totally watch Juan can cook.
He would teach you all different ways to cook your cow. next one comes from Flonk, and he actually is writing in response to someone's letter to us from before. Dear Mike X, thank you for your concern about my well-being during the upcoming robot apocalypse. Unfortunately, I live in a major city, so my survival plan is pretty much the same as it is in all disaster scenarios. Die pretty early. I've watched countless, four, Roland Emmerich-style disaster movies and thought to myself, I'd be dead right about here. I hope you find this information helpful. Warmest regards, Flonk.
Now, this is interesting, because this is something I was talking about just this week.
Oh, yeah, because I guess your little Mass Effect game has some kind of a global catastrophe in it.
Yeah, and it opens in Vancouver.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Which, BioWare, the company that made it, as I believe it's set in Vancouver, so that probably is why.
Ah.
But when that happens, it always makes me think, okay, so am I dead in the... Would I be dead in this game? Probably.
Yeah probably.
And it ties back to... There was an issue of the new Alpha Flight I was reading last summer,
mm-hmm.
where this is back when I was still at, like, the used bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a part where Granville, which is the street that the bookstore's on, gets completely flooded by...
Oh, they actually name-checked a street that you were on.
Well, like, basically what it did was it looked like... I figured out sort of where the disaster would be taking place if it was set in Vancouver and, like, you know, where... Like, I just sort of looked at the picture that got drawn.
You did the biggest nerd thing you've ever done in your life is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, I'd probably be dead. Or at least inconvenienced.
Now, what are you going to do with that information, now that you've spent all that time doing those calculations?
Absolutely nothing. I just think it's interesting.
All right. Fair enough.
Of course, then I thought, well, if it was the Marvel Universe, I'd probably be dead anyway. I'd have at least a 50% chance of being dead anyway.
Well, yeah, didn't at some point Thanos, like, just wipe out
half the people in the in the universe? Yeah, so...
And I, being a person of red hair, which is, I believe, a mutant gene... I would have been wiped out when knowing what I know about Wanda, which is nothing, wipe us all out. So,
well, see, you wouldn't be wiped out. You'd just lose your powers, so you'd be turned into a blonde.
Ugh. Yeah, I might as well be dead.
Fate worse than death.
Yeah.
Take that, blonde people.
Damn it. Okay, next one comes from English Gav, and he says, Hi, people, it's me again, and I've been at the science blogs again.
Oh,
this,
good.
This time, it's about the theoretically possible Alcubierre warp drive technology.
Okay, then.
I understood one word in that sentence, and it was not warp drive. I heard about this before, but new research shows that the release of energy upon dropping out of warp would obliterate everything around it. So I guess that means I'll be taking the aeroplane to Seattle after all. So my question is, what are the best seats on planes? Obviously the front ones are the best with no seats in front of you. What about the others, considering a row of three configuration, window, aisle, or middle? Yours, Gav Drury, GBE, G-Fizz.
Hmm. Well, it's definitely not the middle.
No, God,
the
no.
Middle
Who
is
sits
the
in the
worst
middle?
Seat. Yeah,
those are the worst.
Yeah,
I was actually on an airline, and I don't remember where it was, a long time ago, but there were no middle seats. There were two, and then there was a middle row, like there was an aisle, and then there were two seats sort of in the middle of the plane.
Yeah,
but they were both aisle seats that way, and then there was another aisle, and then there were two more seats, so there were six across.
Mm-hmm.
But there were aisles placed so that nobody was in the middle.
Oh, that's cool.
It was clever. So either you got a window seat or you got an aisle seat, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
which I liked. I once got upgraded to first class, and I got fucking addicted to that. Sitting up front with all the leg room and just nobody in your way. Like caviar. I don't even like caviar. I just bought it and threw it away.
Yeah, I've never not flown coach.
Just like sneered the people back there.
Yeah, I actually haven't flown that much, come to think of it.
Well, you should.
Well, I will.
What you shouldn't do is use a warp drive, because apparently it obliterates people.
Yes.
That was actually a main plot point in the book Federation, where they kept wanting to kidnap Zefram Cochrane to make the warp bomb.
They kept wanting to kidnap Zefram Cochrane so he could sit in the middle seat?
Right. And then there'd be something on the plane, and Kirk would say, hang on, I got this.
And then John Lithgow would show up.
That happened to me, too!
Yelling!
Stealing other people's bits again, Matt.
That's right.
All right. Next one.
If they don't like it, they can come on the podcast and talk about it.
Very well. My favorite seat is actually out on the wing.
Yes.
Because you can terrorize passengers.
You just start ripping shit out.
Yep. Next one comes from Scott. He says, Hey, it's Gay Scott. I guess I'm stuck with that sigh. Yeah, I can't imagine what you would have done to earn that nickname, Scott.
I got a DM from him or something. It was like, Gay Scott, huh? I'm like, yeah, it's a term of endearment.
Well, you
I
know,
swear.
If you didn't write in constantly talking about sex things,
mm-hmm.
maybe we wouldn't focus on your sexuality. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Maybe we would identify you some other way, like Clever Scott or Funny Scott. But nope, Gay Scott.
Gay Scott.
That's what you're stuck with, dude.
At least you're not big gay, Scott.
No, no. I picture him being very petite. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No.
That's how I picture him. As one of those very neat little gay men. Like my brother. My brother's one of those neat little gay men.
Yes.
Anyway, my question is this. Al had a pretty damn impressive wedding with the Minions and the Domino Mask and the Steampunk.
It was a pretty sweet gig, man.
Yeah, it was, for as weddings go.
Yeah.
Does young Matthew have any ideas what his wedding would be? This assumes he isn't marrying Mallory because she would totally force a Harry Potter theme on their nuptials.
Not really. I would definitely try to do something cool to top yours.
Well, that's totally fine. Do that. I only did that because we had to have a wedding. My preference would have been to go down to the courthouse and just sign a paper.
Yeah.
But because the you know, immigration and stuff wants proof that you're actually serious about it, we had to you know, throw a supervillain wedding, which how do you prove you're serious better than
that's true.
Supervillain wedding.
No, I'm actually, I like the idea of being able to get a bunch of people together.
Yeah, just do something fun. Do something goofy. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would probably do something, though. I mean, I probably wouldn't go so far as to get married in a Batman costume or something.
Well, no, because, I mean, you have to have the mask off at least.
Yeah. Maybe a Ghostbusters uniform.
That would be okay. Is it a uniform or is it a costume?
I would call it a uniform.
Well, all right.
I mean, it's something they wear at work.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
I mean, if, like, I don't know, if they were just wearing it to, like, a party or something, then it would be a costume. But if they wear it every day as part of their job, it's a uniform, right?
You're wearing it. You don't actually bust ghosts for a living, as much as you wish you did.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
I do know that, because it's why you're not, it's why you're depressed all the time.
It's why Vancouver is still crawling with ghosts.
God, they're everywhere.
I know. They are the ghosts of people who tried to take over Pac-Man World.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of people who died in that tidal wave.
Well, yeah. And of course, you know, in the Mass Effect, whatever the hell.
Yes.
But, it's still ghosts. Crawling with ghosts. If you were a Ghostbuster, that wouldn't be, you know, that wouldn't be the case.
So yeah.
Obviously, you're not.
It's definitely not a bad place for ghosts. It's not like, you know, Miami.
No, in fact, it says, welcome to Vancouver, a nice place for ghosts.
Yes.
I don't know.
Miami says, welcome to Miami, we have less ghosts than Vancouver.
Yeah, but Miami, I mean, I don't know. It's not terrible. It's not like Detroit or Baltimore.
Yeah. I mean, Baltimore is just a bad city. It doesn't have ghosts in it.
No, just corpses.
It has chuds like you wouldn't believe, but
and lots of corpses.
Yep.
Next one is from John Wiggins, and he says, belt or suspenders?
Have you ever worn a pair of suspenders?
I did because I was a kid in the 80s, and I briefly thought it was supposed to be cool, but I was mocked mercilessly and never.
And rightly so.
I don't know. Marty McFly wore suspenders.
Did he wear? He did wear suspenders.
Yeah, he
too.
Did. So don't give me that.
He also wore long underwear with a butt flap, so I would question that too.
I suppose that's true, but not
and,
in
a, and that life jacket thing.
Yeah, he's a Coast Guard.
Was that ever like? Was that a look?
I honestly don't know, because when that movie came out, I was 11, and I was trying to figure out what was cool. And I just looked to Marty McFly as, well, that must be what's cool.
I mean, like, the rest of him looks fine. You know, he had, like, a shirt and a pair of jeans and some sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
But the life jacket always looked so weird to me.
Now, the vests was definitely a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think making it orange might have just been for the joke.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I mean, he didn't look... I know when I saw him the first time, when he appeared on screen, he didn't look unusual to me. I'll say
no.
That. He looked like a kid looked in the 80s.
Hmm.
But I honestly don't know beyond that. All right. But no, suspenders are for Larry King, and that's it.
Yes.
And clowns.
Yeah.
Larry King and clowns. Next one, I do not know who this is from. It is from the, she spells it, N-Y-A-A-A-A, exclamation point, the Nya woman. This is an actual email we got from the Nya woman. Dear sir and or madams, if applicable. Firstly, secondly, do you have any interesting ghostly or spooky encounters you can share with us? A bit of a theme developing here.
I guess.
Thirdly.
Is it Halloween?
Thirdly, P.S. The second was just to stay in character. I have an expectation to live up to. Yours truly, the woman. P.P.S.
See?
I don't have any idea who this is or
no.
What their deal is, but I kind of like her.
I saw the Nya thing. It's a reference to the Woman in Black, which I saw with Mal about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, all right then.
It's like old woman, ghost, who screams, Nya!
Well, this person has set up their own Gmail account with,
wow,
you know, as the Nya woman.
Mm.
So that's a thing. Beyond that, I have no clue. Ghostly or spooky encounters? No, I wish. No.
Dude, no, if that had ever happened, you would never hear me stop talking about it.
And I would yell at you for not busting the ghost, because as we said before, that would be your responsibility.
And you would be right to do it, because you know what? Busting makes me feel good.
Next one comes from Pat McDonald, and he says, Dear Al, Matt, and Raven Paven Instigating Dave. Well, unfortunately, Dave is, as we have often said, not here. Well, maybe not Matt, because this concerns facial hair, and I don't think he has any.
Oh.
Having recently entered the world of facial hair, I'm still trying to get the hang of this. When to trim, how much to take off, trying not to constantly rub my lower lip against my chin in public, etc. So hoping a gentleman could offer me some tips on how to make my goatee silky smooth. It's all scratchy and the missus doesn't like that. Yours in sobriety because it's before noon. Pat. You know, this sounds stupid. Shampoo your beard. See? Sounds stupid.
It does sound stupid.
It's hair.
I know.
You shampoo it and it's silky smooth like your actual hair. I'm telling you, like, chicks, like, last year, Jessie could not keep her hands off my beard.
It's a very fine beard.
Yeah, but I mean, she said it was soft, it was silky, it was, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that is because I shampoo my beard. So there you go. Not, I wish I had a funny answer to that, but that is how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you gotta leave it in place for a while. If you keep sort of growing it for a couple of days and then shaving it and growing it again, it doesn't have a chance to get soft. Like, the natural tendency is to be bristly, and then it gets... So I don't know. Beard physics sort of baffles me. I'm not really sure. Maybe English Gav can chime in on how beard
physics... Yes, teach us about beard physics.
Yes. Perform some physics experiments on Irish Gav and his beard.
Yes.
And let us know.
Yes. Next, and I can't grow a beard.
Next one comes from... No, you can't. That's how we can tell evil Matt from regular Matt. Not a goatee, but a full beard.
Yes.
Like a full ZZ Top beard.
Yes.
Yep.
And he's constantly stroking.
Yep. All the time.
Yep.
Or doing that weird sort of flourish thing that, what's his name, did in Kill Bill.
Oh, where he sort of grabs it like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. That, it's not so much a stroke because it's not a sensual thing. It's just kind of a, yeah, you know.
He just likes to play with it.
Yeah, exactly. Next one comes from Mike X. Hey, Troy and Abed of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast.
Oh, that's high praise.
Yeah. I've been seriously stressed out this week working on CAD projects for a customer who keeps moving the deadlines closer and closer, then adding last-minute changes to the work I've already done. The upshot is that there's no brain left for thinking and anything clever or interesting to ask, so I'll go with the desert island thing again.
So ghosts and desert islands this week.
I guess. It's weird that these guys just think of this stuff independently.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were stranded on one, and there's a series of questions here.
Okay.
How about we do these rapid fire? I'll ask you and you just answer.
All right.
What book would you want with you?
Dorf on Desert...
No!
Dorf on Desert Island Escape, the book.
All right. What shirt would you want to wear?
Let's see. I would probably go with my 8-bit Mega Man shirt.
Just because in case you run into any natives, like any standard cannibals with bones through their noses, they might be Mega Man fans?
Yeah.
All right. Assuming your top two choices for celebrity companion are busy, who's the third?
Oh, my third celebrity companion.
So that's Dorf taken care of then.
So Dorf is out of the way.
Yeah.
Gallagher
Felicia... 3 is out of the way. So who's the third?
Gallagher 3. Ooh. Who'd you take on a desert island?
You answer first. I'll make a pass through these when you're done.
All right. Man, I don't know.
And it has to be a celebrity. It can't just be your girlfriend, because your girlfriend's not a celebrity.
Third favorite celebrity for Desert Island.
Yep.
Hmm. I would probably take Paul F. Tompkins for that.
Yeah, that's fair. What non...
He seems like he would be a decent conversationalist.
I think so, and you could do silly voices back and forth.
Yes, exactly.
Very well. What non-perishable food item would you want the conveniently placed cargo crate to contain?
Non-perishable?
Yes.
Doesn't perishable mean to eat?
You know, I'm honestly not sure. I'm assuming he means, like, non-perishable means, like, it'll keep for a while.
Okay.
Perishable means stuff that's going to go bad.
Okay.
Non-perishable means you can live on it for a while.
Goldfish crackers.
What flavor?
I would be fine with cheddar, but I mean, like, if it's an assortment of goldfish crackers, that would be fine.
That would break the monotony a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, you're not just going to be looking at fish all the time being on a desert island.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So for me, what book would you want with you? Repair Your Volkswagen, 1975 edition. Which shirt would you want to wear? I'm not wearing a shirt. I'm by myself. I can finally be free of society's shirt-based shame.
Yeah, see, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want Paul F. Tompkins staring at my bitch tits.
Well, that's the thing, is I definitely am self-conscious about how I look without a shirt, but not if there's nobody around, and I forgot that the next one is...
There's somebody around.
Yeah, so, all right, I don't know. Maybe like I guess it has to be a shirt that I already own, because I'm thinking like one of those Fred Flintstone onesies would be perfect.
I mean, you know, if that's what you want, you can request that.
That is what I want.
All right.
Or, you know, I think the Barney Rubble one would actually work better for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of those sort of one-piece, you know.
See, I feel like if the Flintstone movie has taught us anything, and of course it has, it's that those shirts do not translate well to real life.
Well, all right. That is a good point. In that case, I would like to wear a ruffled tuxedo shirt.
Awesome.
Without it, not with a tie or jacket or anything, just the shirt.
That sort of poof thing on the front?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I totally know what you mean.
Powder blue.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming your top two choices are Celebrity Companion or Busy, who's the third? Well, of course, Gallagher 3 is also my top spot. Paul Newman, I think, is dead. So that leaves... I can't think of any other famous people. I don't know. Who hosted the Oscars this year? Billy Crystal. I'd like to have Billy Crystal.
Oh, God. Really? Billy Crystal?
Yes. Why? Oh, come on.
You can have him.
I will have him.
Good.
Sexually.
All right, good. I hope you have a lot of fun having sex with Billy Crystal. Oh,
and you're going to have better sex with Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm not interested in having sex with Paul
F.
Tompkins.
Listen, you're stuck on a desert island for the rest of your life.
So?
You're never going to get rescued.
I went like 26 years without having sex. I can go another 26.
See, but the thing is, you can go a long time, but once you've broken that, it's... then you know how good it is.
I don't think that's true. I think if I can duck behind a palm tree, we should be fine.
No, I disagree.
Well, we'll see.
I'm thinking ahead. I'm going to have endless sex with Billy Crystal in my tuxedo shirt.
In my head, not only are we both on desert islands, but they're like across from each other.
We can't swim to each other. They're just far enough that we can see each other, but can't reach each other.
Yeah, exactly.
A non-perishable food item. God, I don't even know. I want those new Taco Bell Dorito tacos.
Ooh, yeah. Didn't we say how cool that would be like 3 years ago?
I think they probably heard us talking about meat bread, and then we were expanding on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably stole our idea, yes.
But sons of bitches.
People steal our ideas all the time, Matt.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know if... recently in the Judge John Hodgman podcast, he made a joke out of bear mauling. That is my bit.
Yes. Well, did he talk about Sabrina being bear mauled?
Well, no, because that's the next level of that bit.
Right.
But the first part is, you know, it's just bear.
That's all us.
Yeah. All right. Now we have some voicemails to answer.
All right.
So stand by for that.
I will allow it.
Hi, Pamela Finkelstein here, calling on behalf of Channel U62. George was wondering if you'd like to come on for an interview sometime. So call us back at 555-6262. See you soon. Bye.
Wow.
I gotta say, I would love to be on Channel 62.
A UHF joke.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I don't think it was a joke, Matt. That sounded like Fran Drescher to me.
Yeah? No, that was pretty spot on.
Yeah. I would totally be on U62.
Oh, totally.
I would drink from the fire hose.
Yep.
I would play Wheel of Fish. Anything.
Be there!
You know what's great is the commentary track for UHF. Have you ever listened to that?
I have listened to that.
Weird Al has an encyclopedic memory of every person, every address, the date everything was shot. It's insane. And he's not trying to be funny. He's just that big of a nerd.
Yeah.
We shot this on April 7th, 1988. This guy grew up to be an encyclopedia salesman, and his wife is on the Today Show.
Wow, really? Really?
Yeah, that's amazing. So yes, absolutely, call us back. I mean,
please.
I tried calling that number and 555. Like, there's not enough numbers.
No.
It's now the 21st century, and we need an area code. So, So call us back with that, and we'll get in touch.
Oh, hey, did you know that Al originally wanted Joel to be on that in that movie?
Yeah, I did. He was supposed to be the mad scientist.
Yeah.
Yep, I did know that.
I always thought that was really cool.
They didn't exactly come up around the same time. It's sort right. of around the same time. No, and I also heard him recently on Nerdist, and no, not Nerdist, the other one, the one where the guy's a dick usually, Mark Maron's
show.
WTF? Yeah, and actually, it's weird, because Maron's usually a dick to everybody, and he was actually really nice to Weird Al, which is good. I would have been upset.
You can't be a dick to Weird Al.
No, he's the nicest guy in show business.
Unless you're Paul F. Tompkins.
Was he a dick to Weird Al?
Did you hear, he has this bit about how, like, he was working on something with a... like in the same building as Weird Al, and they were making some noise.
Mm.
And Paul F. Tompkins was all like, I know Weird Al. I'll go over there and, you know, tell him to knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of goes over there like three times, just like, come on, Weird. You guys are so loud. And every time he did it, Weird Al would be all like, oh God, I'm so sorry. We'll knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the third time he realizes, wait, I don't know Weird Al at all.
Oh God. That's like a horrible, like, embarrassing British story.
Yeah. It's like if Weird Al put down a packet of biscuits and Paul Tompkins started eating them.
Oh, no! I feel bad for both of them. All right, next one comes from Brewtown Marissa, so let's have a listen to that.
Gentlemen, it's Mrs. Brewtown. I'm in the process of making my salad for lunch tomorrow because I'm on a diet, and I'm in desperate need of your advice. Could you all tell me which vegetable is sexier, the cucumber or the tomato? Standing by with bated breath, Mrs. B.
It's really sexying it up there. Yep. I feel a little uncomfortable about this.
Uh-huh.
Especially since the next one is from Brewtown Andy. also, we had initially expected Dave to be here, and he couldn't make it. And I really feel like this is one for him to field.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I would hope not. Good
luck. I don't know. I feel like the obvious answer is the cucumber. I just want to go tomato just out of sex spite.
Sex spite may be the worst thing.
Oh, no. There are many worse things. I mean, you know, I'm going to be having a lot of sex spite sex with Billy Crystal on that island.
Yeah, you are. Jesus.
I hate Billy Crystal. Have I mentioned that?
He's so horrible.
In case I wasn't clear on that.
Why would you want to be on a deserted island with Billy Crystal?
Sex spite, Matt.
Ugh.
Because, listen, I need a corpse so that I can make a tent out of human skin, and I'll kill him instantly.
Need like a... You have a pressing need for a Fernando impression.
No, it's not an impression. I think it's a character he invented.
Oh, I don't even care. I get to talk to the cake boss and John Lithgow.
Yeah, but then you're not going to have sex with him, so what's the point?
I don't care!
I thought he was a hack on the outside. So, I don't know, tomato, but I think the binary choice is limiting us here. I think there are vegetables. Also, the tomato is a fruit, so disqualified. I hate when people point that out.
Yeah, actually, just like, shut up.
The tomato is a fruit. Yeah, you know what? We don't have, like, yogurt with tomato in it. We don't have, like, you know, if you're making a fruit salad, tomato would make it gross. They're vegetables, dude. You put them in a salad with other vegetables.
Fucking calm down.
It's like the British show QI always likes to point out that, like, nothing you think is a vegetable is really a vegetable, and nothing is a fruit, and like every single thing is wrong. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna embrace the lie.
Yep.
And move on with it.
As for me, I like cucumbers.
Well, you know, I do like cucumbers. Do you think they're sexy though?
I've never really thought about it, but
I mean, there's the obvious phallic angle, but there's, you know, when you cut them open.
That never occurred to me. You're right. They do look phallic. It
does look like a penis.
Good gravy.
There's also bananas, Matt.
No, those are gross.
And zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
And,
the carrot?
Yes, of course, the very phallic carrot. Because, you know, everyone's penis is tapered at one end like that.
The celery, if your penis has a dip in it.
Right, you know, the channel, the urethra channel.
That's how the urine flows out.
Yeah, it's like a trough.
Yes.
The urethra trough.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I don't know, I'm trying to think, going through like the potatoes. Potatoes are the most erotic vegetable.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And actually, technically, the potato is a meat,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay. That's what makes it sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Take that, Dr. Atkins. I'm gonna totally steal Irish Gav's joke here, but he said that Dr. Atkins died when he drove a potato off a cliff. All right, next one is
man,
from...
Man, he died exactly the way I want to die, surrounded by mashed potatoes.
With Paul F. Tompkins.
Yes, with Paul F. Tompkins.
All right, next one comes from, as I said, Bruton Andy.
All right.
Hey, guys. Bruton Andy here. How do I put this? If your significant other makes ridiculous threats, go ahead and believe them.
That's not exactly a question.
Still.
That's more of a suggestion.
E for effort, I guess.
Well, effort does start with an E.
Mm-hmm. An F for fake.
Yes, F for cake. Of course. All right. Well, I mean, my significant other does nothing but make ridiculous threats.
That's true.
That's pretty much what she's known for. That and being the Queen of France. I assume yours does as well. She seems like someone
yeah, that
who
does happen.
Shake her fists at you from time to time. But I'm not really sure how to answer this. I mean,
yeah.
All right. I wonder if those are connected. I wonder if Marissa.
I can't imagine.
Thinking of vegetables as being erotic, then somehow threatened to replace him with a cucumber.
Vegetable. Yes.
Yes. And of course, they have children. So, children, meet your new father, this cucumber. and eventually, to keep him, you know, fresh from withering, you'd have to turn him into a pickle.
Well, of course.
So, you know, Daddy Pickle would then be the Brewtown patriarch. And, Andy, you really do not want to be cuckolded by a pickle.
Pickolded?
Yes.
What the hell is happening?
I don't know.
Where are we? What's going on?
Well, I'm on a desert island with Billy Crystal in my tuxedo shirt. The Brewtowns are being pickolded, and I don't know where you are.
And I'm refusing to have sex with Paul F. Tompkins.
Right. Not even a mustache ride, huh?
No.
But he's got that great mustache.
It's a fine mustache.
It's one of the best mustaches.
Mustache.
I think if you were to rank modern mustaches, like...
And you should, by the way.
Now that Burt Reynolds, like, okay, he had a little comeback there, but he's still not super relevant anymore. And, you know, Magnum P.I., what's his name? Fuck, that guy.
Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, thank you. You know, Tom Selleck was almost Indiana Jones.
Yes. Mustache Anna Jones.
Yes. That he was like, Burt Reynolds was like the mustache of the 70s, and Tom Selleck was the mustache of the 80s. I'm not sure who the mustache of the 90s was. Probably Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
The dude abides. That guy.
Yeah.
I don't know who the mustache of the last decade was, but totally this decade, the mustache is Tom Selleck again. No, Paul F. Tompkins.
Yes.
Paul F. Tompkins, mustache of the decade.
Yep.
I'm calling it early. It's only 2012, but...
you know what?
We salute you, sir.
Yes. Look forward to receiving your crystal mustache award in the mail.
Yes. And it's not an ironic hipster mustache either. It is a proper, you know, sincere mustache.
Yes.
Which you get points for mustache sincerity.
Oh, so totally.
That's
and, of course, if your mustache is the most sincere, then the great mustache will come to you in the mustache patch.
And Nixon is there digging around for microfilm.
Micro mustaches.
Crow mustaches. All right, I think we're done here. Stole your catchphrase.
Oh, you son of a beach.
This will be the final show before the Emerald City Comic Con. This
that is
posting
true.
On Friday, the March the something.
Yeah,
I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Shmurf.
2 weeks after that, we are posting our Best of Sarcastic Voyage. I don't do this often. I don't not post new material. But because we have a lot of con preparation to do, because we have a lot of last-minute things to take care of,
yep.
And I do want to put up something, we have assembled a collection of our best stuff from the last couple of years. 200 hours worth of podcasting distilled down to what we think is the best 80 minutes we've done so far.
Yep.
And that's about right.
Yeah.
200 hours down to 80 minutes. That's less than 1%.
Well, if it helps, you know, you ignore the entire first 100 episodes.
So should everyone else. no, actually, that's not true. I pulled a couple from episode 60-something. I dipped back a couple of times before episode 100. Anyway, that will be posting 2 weeks after this episode to buy us a little time. Then the following episode will be live at Emerald City.
Mm-hmm.
We are just about there.
Oh my god.
We are terrified and excited.
Yes.
I'm mostly excited. I think Matt's mostly terrified.
Mostly terrified.
Here's the thing about that. We will be doing basically a live version of the show you are hearing now, which is an opening bit, then maybe some sketch material or something, and then mail. The mail thing will be a bit of a live Q&A, but we encourage you, write in. We will answer your questions before a live studio audience. Mm-hmm. Any mail received after the show, between, you know, the 2 weeks between there and when we're in Emerald City, we will answer in front of an audience in our live show.
Yes.
So if you're writing to us, keep those kinds of questions, like, keep that in mind. Yep. Make it something that we, you know, that might feed into being at a convention, being in front of people, that sort of thing. Maybe don't write questions that take us 2 hours to read.
Maybe don't write Coke or Pepsi.
Oh, I guarantee we're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll be ready. We'll do a visual reference that the audience will love and that the listeners can't see.
I'm just going to bring a Coke.
Yep, I will bring a Pepsi.
Hooray!
We will be the comedy and tragedy of something.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so that is all coming up. Our books are just about ready, and all the other stuff is just about ready, and more details on that stuff soon. So if you can make it to Emerald City, that would be great. If not, we will be back in a few weeks doing the show that we do.
Yes.
And that is all for now. We're going to stop talking now.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar Watt with Amanda Smith and Malvern Splown. It was written by Ron Algar Watt and Gav Brown. I am your announcer, Matt Robotham. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012.
I guess Bert's not coming to get me. I guess no one's coming to get me. What's that?
A la peanut butter sandwiches!
Holy cow, the wall just disappeared. Hey, you're Mumford the Magician.
That's right, my boy. We're breaking you out of here.
Who's we?
Forgetful Jones and his forgotten Muppet Commandos.
Oh, wow. There's Don Music and Simon the Sound Man.
We had to spring you before you sang, like a...
And Betty Lou.
I'm Prairie Dawn.
Uh-huh. And, oh, wow, Roosevelt Franklin. I always wondered what happened to you.
Sup, Cracker? Now come on, boy. Climb onto Barkley there and we'll ride off into the sunset.
Really? I thought for sure this is going to end in some horrible dark way.
Well, Al did write an ending like that, but it made him cry.
Jeez, what a pussy.